At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star. And welcome, everybody, to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. You're hearing my voice because our beloved captain is feeling a bit under the weather. So this week it is me and Jason here. We're not flying solo, we're flying duo, I guess. I don't know.
you could be my wingman anytime, Rob.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And so... I think we were both watching the NFL premiere while we were talking.
Yeah, we absolutely are.
So if either of us drifts off for a few seconds, that's why.
We've already had an injection. We've already had a season-ending injury, and that was 6 seconds into the season.
Yeah. Well, look, this NFC East, man. That's how it is.
Yeah. It's beautiful stuff. Dallas and Philly is already living up to the hype. Yeah. So it's Jalen Hurts is pushing into the red zone. But yes. We didn't come here to talk about football. We came here to talk about professional wrestling and other mindless subjects, which, I mean, we might get in there, football. So I am the man for the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. I am the Bucky's tag team partner. I am definitely destined to go through a barbershop window. I am Jason. I'm proud to be here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast with the Shoot Bear, the man with the golden shovel, the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob. How are you, sir?
Doing good, doing good.
Excellent. All right, so we just want to jump into this before we embarrass ourselves?
Yes, why not?
All right, cool.
Now, also, did you watch Heat Wave?
I did.
Okay, because DJ didn't watch Heat Wave, so we didn't talk about Heat Wave last week. So
yeah, I got,
we can talk about that.
I can pull that card up very quickly. If you want to, I did not go, unfortunately. It was a beautiful venue, over at the, Lowell Memorial Auditorium in lovely Lowell, Massachusetts. However, Rob and I are going there for, is it at the Lowell Auditorium? I think it is. We're going to Lowell for, it's at the Songhees Arena. Never mind. It's here.
Okay.
Or bigger, way bigger than that. But anyway, we're going to TNA, in a couple of weeks for that. But we did not come here to talk about TNA. Rob, did you want to kick around Heat Wave?
We didn't get to do that anymore.
I want to talk about the triple threat at the very beginning for the, number one contenders for the NXT Women's Championship.
Yes.
Lola Vice, Jada Parker, Kalani Jordan. I won't even tell you. The winner was us, the fans. All three of those girls' graphs are pointing all the way up. And that match was so much fun. It was the perfect amount of, I don't want to use the word contrived spot, but choreographed spots. But everything made sense. Everything flowed together and nothing looked paint by numbers. It was just, we know it's choreographed because we watch this stuff and we know how it works. It was so much fun. And, so I didn't have much else to say other than I wanted to put those two over and or those three rather, excuse me. And the Lola Vice did win. So good for her.
Yes.
Rob.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely an excellent opener. And like I said, it wasn't too contrived. Because, with the triple threat matches, that's always, with the multi-person matches, that's always kind of there's a line that you got, that if you cross it, it just becomes, looks a little too stupid. And they, they didn't do that. So it wasn't too choreographed, and they didn't have the whole one person lays on the floor for 10 minutes while the other two people do their thing, and then they get back in, and then somebody else goes and lays on the floor. They didn't really fall into that either.
No, if someone got thrown out, they spent a believable amount of time outside the ring, and then they were back in.
Yeah.
Probably jumping right into an amazing spot that, they cooked up. So yeah, it was awesome. And then I don't want to go match by match, but there are the first three are people I really do want to talk about. Cause Dark State beat Hank and Tank for the, NXT Tag Team Championships. And I gotta say, I am not rushing out to get any Dark State merch, and I don't think they're headed to the NXT, WWE, or even NXT Hall of Fame anytime soon. However, I think they've successfully got themselves into a groove, and they're not, I don't think they're Shield Light or just Retribution again. As I thought the first couple of weeks before they really got to get into their promo style and get into the way they do things. So I'm not like I said, I'm not going to buy merch or anything, but I'm in. They're perfectly fine for the developmental league's, villain of the mid card. They're great at this point. Rob, did you have anything to say about Dark State versus Hank and Tank?
Oh yeah. So for me, I think they have turned a corner. And look, honestly, a lot of it has to do with, Cutler, what weird thing he's going to say this week. I mean, but but here's the thing, that has got people interested. So, the name of the game is to do something that gets people interested in you. Something other than just, doing moves in the ring. So, as silly as it is, it's got people paying attention. And that's objective number one, to get people to pay attention to you. And cause they're all none of them are bad in the ring or anything. It's just, we didn't care. Right. I mean, basically, but now they have something that, get us to pay attention. Even it is something wacky, but whatever. I mean, we're paying attention because we see what he says, right? Okay. And that in turn, now we're interested in what they do in the ring. And there's another fight on the field. Good Lord.
Beautiful.
Flags flying everywhere.
This is excellent. Whoa, we got a face mask and everything. Yeah, that's
what I'm talking about here.
All right.
But yeah, so look, first mission for them is accomplished. They got us interested. And so now they can move on. They can move on, and they're out of phase one. They can, so now they can proceed. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and Hank and Tank are awesome.
Yeah.
I love Hank and Tank. They are going to be perfect. In 3 years, they'll be, at worst, a mid-card comedy tag team on the main roster. Those kind of guys get steady work, So, and that's at worst, in my opinion. Could they rise to heights above that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So moving on the card, this is the other match that I really had a lot to say. Well, not really, just I wanted to talk about it. Ash by Elegance, JC Jane, and Masha Slamovich were in a triple threat match for the TNA World Tag Team, TNA Knockouts World Championship. And my God, Ash by Elegance won a women's world championship in an NXT ring. That was one of the coolest things that I've seen in like, in terms of like, oh, there's some cool real world elements to this. Like, very full circle, whatever you want to say about it. And she later indicated it as much. But, and the match was awesome. I had a great time. And most importantly, Ash did not slip on the banana peel and get into this thing. She won that match.
Yeah.
Hats off. It was amazing, Rob.
And look, I'll admit, I was completely shocked. I thought she was there to take the pin. Okay. Okay. And then she won the damn thing. And congratulations to her. She's been like, again, we talked about her last week, but you know, we sung her praises for a while. She has done, you know, whether it's in WWE or in TNA, she's done everything that's been asked her to do. And she, look, when she got released, she could have given up, you know, and because, I mean, she wasn't exactly somebody who was going to be in heavy demand, you know, as a free agent or something, but she stuck with it. And like TNA has been a great place for people to rehab their careers. And she's just the latest one to do that. And, you know, and look, and good for her. Congratulations to her. And then, we'll see how it goes forward from here, but you know, good for her.
Yeah, I agree. So not much to say about the rest of the show, frankly, for me. I was going to just run really quickly, but the main, I have plenty, but nothing but stars for the main event before you get on me about it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, nothing but stars for the main event. I have nothing to add because we can't put those guys any more over than we already have, both of them. But anyway, Rob, what else did you want to talk about?
I want to give them just, say a little bit something about them because, look, that was a foregone.
Did you want to say anything before we get to the main event then?
Yes, I do because I wanted to put all over the Blake Monroe Jordan Grace match. I really enjoyed that because that was an old school kind of psychology kind of wrestling match because, Jordan was just, she was basically trying to get her hands on Blake and so she could pound her into the dirt and Blake was running away. And when she wasn't running away, she was attacking Jordan's arm and working it over. And this old school, heel babyface kind of wrestling match. And, when they did the thing with the turnbuckle pad, that was just genius the way that, because it wasn't the whole thing where, she was standing in the corner untying the turnbuckle pad and it was all obvious and everything. She ripped it off basically by accident while she was getting yanked out of the corner. But then later on in the match, of course, she used it to her advantage, Blake did. And right. So I thought that was an excellent way to do that whole thing. And, I just really enjoyed the way that match went because again, it was an old school psychology kind of match. They weren't just doing spots.
Yeah.
And
Jordan's great, man. Yeah. I love her. She, the Juggernaut is a perfect moniker for her.
Yeah. And I think Blake is a really good addition as far as the ring work because, I think it was last week her and Kalani had a match. It was a short match, but, it was one of the rare matches where Kalani wasn't just doing the spots because, I think that had a lot to do with who she was in the ring with.
Right. Cause we gotta wrestle.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Tavion Heights and, Tyra Steele took on Ethan Page and Chelsea Green Ethan and Chelsea are just having a grand old time. I'm so happy for them. That whole pairing was obviously tremendous. And the match was a lot of fun. So, Rob, what did you have to say about the wonderful Canadian folks?
I felt bad for the baby faces here because, they just got caught in a bad spot. And
yeah.
getting booed there. It's not their fault. But, look, everybody loved Chelsea, and you know, Ethan is really good at what he does. And honestly, you know, in the grand scheme of things, Tavian and Tyra, they're still not that well known. And
right.
So that is exactly the kind of situation where you might get booed because everybody knows your opponents and your opponents are both really good at their jobs. And so, yeah, I guess they got kind of set up there and it's not their fault. But you know what? Here's the thing. It's developmental and it's a learning experience. And because sometimes you go out there and, you know, depending on what town you're in or the circumstances or whatever, sometimes they cheer for the bad guys and you gotta adapt. You gotta, even if it's just for that one night, you gotta learn how to just switch the way you're working on the fly. Now they weren't going to do that there, but it happens sometimes, right? And especially like, we've seen it at house shows and whatnot. And, you know, maybe you're in the heel's hometown or you're someplace where the heel has always been popular and they get cheered that night. So you just got to switch up what you're doing. But you know, it's a good learning experience really to go out there and, you know, every now and then, yeah, to go out there and not get the reaction that was expected. And because again, it's a learning experience. So, and look, I think they're both going to be fine. They're both.
I have no worries there, but like you said, they just got caught in a bad spot. I mean, of course, Chelsea and Ethan were going to be over as hell. They're just two charismatic firecrackers and they were being obnoxious Canadians. It's amazing. So, but that does bring us to the main event. And again, I didn't have much else to say. Obafemi defended his, NXT championship against Javon Evans and they did it again. I don't even know what to say, guys. They did it again. They're just both so wonderful. The match was amazing. Javon had me believe at least once that this might happen, and it didn't quite happen. So, all the stars. I had a great time because it's very much my kind of wrestling. Like, that's Mortal Kombat, you know, David versus Goliath, it's not. Yeah, it was awesome.
And look, for a match that, you know, could easily just been a foregone conclusion kind of match. Again, they both worked in a way that put something in jeopardy. And that last bump against, you know, the way Over just chucked him outside into the table.
Oh my God.
That was, man.
I thought he was going
to. Oh, I thought it was a very good show.
That's when you think you're like waking up in the spirit realm, man.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, or you wake up and you're like, oh, and you don't remember. Like, oh, did we do the table thing?
Yeah. You're walking in the back and everyone's like, great match. You're like, oh, was it? Awesome. Anyway, Miz was telling that story. What was it, WrestleMania, where he did the whole
match? Oh yeah, he got concussed. Yeah, in the middle of the match against Cena.
Yeah, nope, doesn't remember the damn thing. So, anyway, moving on. Those guys absolutely crushed it. But we don't have to take a commercial break. We will in a little bit. But Rob, did you have anything else you wanted to discuss from Heatwave?
No, I thought it was an excellent show, and the NXT is the most consistently good program, definitely this year, maybe the last few years, but they are consistently good, you know, week in and week out, and then with the bigger shows also.
Top to bottom, best women's division, too.
Yeah.
Like, time on television, quality of matches, quality of talent up and down the roster, not just the main event, folks.
Yeah, yeah. And giving people characters and playing on their personality, right, and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty good time to be a fan of NXT. So that brings us to the end of NXT Heatwave, I believe.
Yes.
So did you want to move right into Clash of Paris, Rob?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, why not? Because, so did you take in any of Forbidden Door or not?
No, I did not.
Okay, because I did watch some of it. I said overall it was a good show. For me, it was a little bit of a letdown just because All In was just, you know, it was All In with WrestleMania 40, basically. You know, and so it was the show. This was the show after WrestleMania 40, you know. So for me, I thought it was a good show, but it did, you know, it was, for me personally, it was a little bit of a letdown just because of what they were coming off of.
Fair enough.
But plenty of other people said it was a good show. So plenty of other people sang the praises of it. So I would say this time, just take their word for it.
All right. So, let's see here. If we move right into Clash of Paris, we open the show with, you know, the match of the night, obviously, Roman Reigns versus Bronson Reed. You know, Bronson Reed came out with the shoes and all that good stuff. And we had a hell of a match. And I thoroughly enjoyed the whole thing. And we finally had Roman beat Bronson, and then he got to throw his shoes to the crowd and all that good stuff. And let's see here. Then what happened? When did it? Because then we ended with the ambulance spot. But
yeah, and we're trying not. You and I are trying not to remember that.
Right. I was like, he won, and he was throwing the shoes to the crowd, right?
That's it, yeah. Look, that was our main event, so.
Yeah. So, let's see here. But anyway, but Reed, so in any case, Reed put Roman in the hospital, basically. So now we have by the way, thanks for coming, Jey Uso. What was that, man? This dude is getting beat up by the whole goddamn Vision, and then finally Jey Uso is like, well, now that his spleen's in four different places, I should probably go out there and do something about it. My goodness.
I mean, it would have been better if he had, you know, if he had done the full entrance but still gotten there on time, right?
Right.
At least that would have been amusing.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
But he was just late.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. But so then that led to Breaker and Bronson being banned from ringside for the World Championship match. And if they showed up, they'd be suspended indefinitely. So next up, we had the tag team titles in a match. We had, let's see here. Obviously, the Wyatt family, the Wyatt Six, excuse me, was against the Street Profits. I had a good time. I've been thoroughly enjoying the fact that the Wyatt Six are just part of the roster now. They're still kind of in their corner doing their thing, it's just, I don't think expectations are super duper high at this point. Nor should they be, but I also don't think it's, you know, they're forgotten already, like forgotten already or something like that. So we're in a good spot. And they also defended their titles successfully. So, Rob?
Yeah, look, I think this is about the right spot for it, because for them, because we talked before about how, the spooky people always pose a booking problem. You know, as far as, you can't put them too high because then eventually put them up too high, then you're always going to have they got to lose, and it's always going to be unsatisfying in some type of way.
Right.
So I think having them here, I think this is a good place because, they can hold these belts. They can They can win stuff. They can beat some people. And you don't have that problem of, you know, well, who are we going to have beat them and not piss everybody off? You know.
Nice. So, next up we had the women's intercontinental.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Another title match. Becky Lynch defended her title against Nikki Bella. I was rooting, and along with the whole Bella army, for Mother Nikki, but unfortunately, she's just another checkbox for the legendary Baxter brother. You know, just something to add to the resume. Beat Nikki Bella, yes sir, brother. I don't do it as well as Rob, but the Becky Lynch tour, which we'll of course get to later, you know, it continues and it's getting worse. And I'm not having fun, and I'm not having fun in the, you know, wrestling way. So, like, change the channel stuff is what I'm talking about. But yeah, so. Let's keep it to the match, and then we'll get to Becky's further exploits later.
Okay. Oh, man, this was...
It was fine.
Whatever. It got a little rough in a few places.
It's been a while for Nikki, okay?
Yeah, they're both...
It was rough goings for both of them, frankly.
You know, like, we don't... You know, look, we're not ones to, you know, bury people too hard or whatever when shit doesn't work right, but, you know. But anyhow, yeah, because look,
when both of their recent resumes are perfectly fine. So it's just like, whatever, off night happens.
Yeah. I'll just reiterate what I've been saying about Nikki and Trish, and, you know, that at some point, you know, they deserve to come back and get paydays, just like the men just like their male counterparts have been doing for years. But you gotta have them win some stuff too. And like, maybe Nikki should not have won here. I'm not saying she should have won here.
She should.
But we are kind of at a point, I think, with her and Trish, where if they are gonna keep getting these opportunities, they gotta win some stuff eventually.
I agree.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll just leave it there as far as it goes.
There you go. So we move on to another candidate for my match of the night. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So yes. Rob. We talked last week about how the good old-fashioned Donnybrook match can be a vehicle for comedy, or it can be a vehicle for absolute unfiltered violence.
Yes.
And thankfully, we got the latter with Rusev and Sheamus. It was a very merry Rusev day. And these guys beat the ever-loving dog shit out of each other, as I hope they would. They were like, there was white noise off the whiskey barrels. There was tables. There were shillelaghs. It was absolutely fantastic. Rusev slapped in the accolade and won. So that's great because, you know, I don't think Sheamus needed to win that. And Rusev just got back. If we're going to do new killer Rusev, well, like what Rob was saying about these legends, you want to tell me he's the new killer? Well, he needs to kill some things. And he successfully killed, quote unquote, in wrestling context, Sheamus. Rob?
Yeah, look, I think I said last week that, you know, well, they could have, you know, this was a match where they could have done this on TV, but I also said that, you know, probably by the time it was over, you know, we will be very satisfied with the result. And I think that's the case. Look, you know, personal biases aside, you know, if we set aside our own personal affection for the Tribal Chief, yeah, I would say this definitely was a candidate for match of the night. And look, you can always count on Sheamus to pull at least one out every year that you're going to put in your match of the year category. And so he did it again. And so even though he took the loss, kudos to the big Irishman. And welcome back, Rusev. Like he needed to win something. You know, this is his first big match after coming back. So yeah, I mean, if he doesn't win here, then what are we doing? And he did. So.
Yeah, perfect. So hopefully, you know, we'll see what's next for the next Rusev Day.
Yeah.
Next up, we had John Cena and Logan Paul, which, again, delivered exactly what we expected. These guys put on a great match. Paul attempting the five moves of doom was incredible. And, you know, obviously Cena won. So I had a great time. And, you know, here we are marching on the good guy Cena tour, I guess. Still not going to talk about that, huh? We're just going to. Thanks, Rocky. Thanks, Rock. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything. Wow. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
look, they pulled out the neuralizer on us, you know, after SummerSlam the day before SummerSlam. They pulled out the neuralizer on us. Said, hey, everybody, look over here.
Yeah. That was it.
But you know what? that being said, you know, I am here for the victory lap. This is, you know, I am here for this part of it. So,
yeah, I agree, by the way. Now that we're here and we turned a back face, okay, right off into the sunset, let's go Super Cena till the end of the year, please.
Yeah. And look, this,
you made the choice. Let's now dial it to 11. Let's go.
Yeah, because look, you know what? Because honestly, this is one of those situations where if they, you know, as long as if they end it right, then, you know, I think most of us will just be willing to forget that the heel turn thing ever happened. You know, even though, I mean, you know, we were interested at the beginning of it, but, you know, it kind of went awry. But I think the most important thing now is that they close this thing right.
Right. Yeah, we'll see what happens. So then we had the main event of the evening, Seth Rollins defending his world heavyweight title against CM Punk, LA Knight, and Jey Uso in a four-way match. Everybody got their shit in. We had a great time until CM Punk was attempting a GTS on Mr. Rollins, and Mrs. Rollins, dressed like a ninja for reasons still unclear, jumped into the ring and gave the old low blow to the little punks. And, you know, it's all over but the crying from there. Seth Rollins retains his title thanks to his wife, the Intercontinental Champion, Becky Lynch, interfering in his match. Rob, what did you think of the whole thing? Before we get to Punk and Becky Monday, what did you think of Becky interfering in the whole thing? She dressed like a ninja.
Yeah. Okay, now we knew that when Braun and Bronson got thrown out, that somebody else was going to interfere. Because that's the whole point of throwing out the goons that we all know about, is that there's supposed to be somebody else.
Right? Ready Five, only the goon version.
Yes, exactly.
In this case, it was Becky Lynch.
See, because, all right, I was hoping, because I suggested Omos. I was hoping for that, right? Because to me, all right, because we've already seen pretty much every iteration of match between with Seth Brown and Bronson on one side and some combination of Punk and Roman and Jay and LA Knight and Sammy. We've seen almost every iteration of that that there is to offer. And so I was hoping that they would add a new man to the group so that they would kind of change the dynamic. And, you know, I suggested Omos because Omos is, I mean, he completely would change, uproot everything, right? Because you would have to just work different kind of matches with him in there, right? And I was hoping, you know, that to me would have provided some good variety going forward. Right. And also, if we're talking about guys who are supposed to be future guys, you know, and kayfabe, Omos is supposed to be one of those people. And so I was hoping for something like that. So when she came out there, well, and it was obvious it was her, right? When she came out there. And that's something like, did she really need a disguise?
I turned to my wife and I was like, it's Becky. And she's like, no. And then, you know, low blow, mask.
I mean, what other woman was going to come out there to help Seth Rollins?
Right. And then the ninja outfit wasn't nondescript enough. I could tell it was a woman.
Yeah. And well, yeah, once I saw those women, like, okay, here we go. Because again, what other woman was going to come out there to help him? So I don't think she really did the disguise. Okay.
Even as short as Becky is, she was too tall to be Liv, which would be the only other maybe sort of kind of, I guess, leap of logic.
But she has no history or no connection.
Exactly. Like,
so, I mean,
I'm stretching here, man. I'm trying. I'm saying, like, it was fairly obvious it was Becky, guys. Why'd she dress up like a ninja?
Right. And
but so we get to Monday night where her and Punk have this promo and she slaps the shit out of Punk and, you know, says stuff is a coming. It's got to be AJ Lee at this point, right?
Yeah, because if it's not, then we'll put it this way. Okay. They have not mentioned her name. They have not done any wink, wink, nod, nod kind of stuff on TV. So they have not told us this. Okay. We have told us, this is one of those times where we told ourselves and we're all assuming that because it's Punk, that if he's going to bring somebody in, that whereas we have all jumped to the conclusion that that's who it has to be.
And so you're really ringing the caution alarm here.
Well, I'm the opposite.
Okay. I'm saying at this point, like if it's the wrong person and they get booed, oh yeah. Sorry, man. And I think there's only two right answers at this point.
Now,
and I even think they, because again, it's probably going to be in Chicago and at SmackDown.
Well, he said he's coming to SmackDown Friday, and SmackDown is in Chicago. So
there you go.
It's got to be her, because if it's not, then even though they haven't told us, they've set things up, you know, they haven't refuted it. So they haven't done anything to refute it. Like,
right. And I think at this point, if it's not her, they got to eat the booze in Chicago. Sorry. Whoever it is, you got to eat the booze. And then we'll talk, you know, in the weeks to come. You know, whatever. Let's all move on. But yeah.
I think there is one alternative. There is one way that if it is not her, there is one way they could spin it and have it work and not have people shit all over them. And that would be if they had her come out there and then, you know, she got the shit kicked out of her and was rendered unable to compete.
Okay. Right. Now, I mean, if in any way she just like made it obvious, like, no, I'm retired or whatever. And then she's like, but I asked, boom. And she could put over whoever she wants.
But I think, yeah,
but other than that, man, oof.
Cause we'll put it this way. If it's not her, then they should have already had done some scenes the past few weeks with him talking to some other woman there.
Yeah, or other women.
Like, yeah, or women that they should have done something. If it's not going to be her, then they should have done something to set the table for somebody else.
Right.
And they haven't done that. So, yeah, it better be her because look, there's one person, the only woman on that roster who would not get booed out of the building is Rhea. Okay.
And even that might be kind of tepid. Everyone's going to be like, oh, all right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the first night, it would be. But I think.
Yeah, like I said, that first night, you got to eat it. Whatever their reaction is, like, yeah. Because I'm always, like, Rob's right. And I usually agree with him. Like, they never said it. They never promised it. They never did this. They never did that. They never hinted on screen, blah, blah, blah. But at this point, I think they've set the table, husband and wife. You know, long time that it's got to be her.
Yeah.
And again, they have been fairly good about that. Like people are sometimes in this new era, Punk could have been talking in the background to various women. And that would have been enough for me to be like, hey, no, it could be anyone. Like, we don't even have to know what they were saying. Like, you know how they've done that now? They've just staging things. They've been like, hey, things are happening around this. This is a world, a living, breathing universe. Wow. But again, they haven't done even that. So, yeah, you got to eat it. Anything else on the main event or anything else on that?
Well, it was just in this case, if it was going to be anybody else, again, they needed to show him talking to whoever that somebody else is, they need to have been talking on television for the past few weeks so just to do the foreshadowing. And they haven't done that. So if it's not her, then, yeah, I feel bad for whoever they're going to send out there to die on Friday. And it's not we both saw some people suggest Jade, and it's like, really?
Nah.
That's no. No, just no.
So, anything else on the Clash, Rob?
So I think that's it for the card. So I guess now, so we kind of have the table set here for the next few months, it looks like.
We'll get Becky and Seth versus AJ and Punk at WrestlePalooza.
Yeah.
And Roman's gone.
Yeah.
He's, you know, gone till the build for Survivor Series, probably. I feel like he's going to be on WrestlePalooza. He's going to be on the ESPN show.
With the degree to which he was taken out of action, I mean, it's in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked by that.
So I don't think he'll be back. So now, and Cody was written off too because they had Drew take him out a few weeks ago. So
yeah,
and now of course they're both shooting Street Fighter. So, yeah. You know, Cody was already out there, so there's a possibility that he'll be finished sooner. He'll be back sooner. But if not, if he's not back for a while either, then I don't want to hear nothing else from all of you people talking about, Roman the champion, he can't even come out on TV. Where is he? He's been gone for a month.
Yeah.
Because your man is doing it right now, okay, people? Okay.
Roman did it repeatedly over the year, though. Oh, yeah. Stop it.
Okay. He didn't start doing that until what, like, you know, late 2022? He went almost two solid years full time. Okay.
It's the Thunder. I'm Thunderdome.
Yeah. And then like almost the first year after that too. Most of the first year after that when they came.
Yeah, that's true. He'd miss like a couple of weeks at a time, maybe.
But still, you know, if he's gone for, if y'all boy Cody is gone for over a month, you know, while being Universal Champion. You know,
he's holding the belt hostage.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything else you want to discuss before we get out of here, my friend? Before we embarrass ourselves?
Well, I don't know, but I think me and you both trying to figure out a way to get $28 million under the table. You know, right?
Yeah. Man, Kawhi Leonard and Steve Ballmer, man, it's good work if you can get it. $28 million for a non-existent tree planting charity company. Woo-wee!
Yeah,
man, that's the kind of stuff that should, like, yeah, this is gonna be ugly. Man, in my opinion, the league should give them the absolute like worst hammer they could possibly give a team. I don't even know what that is, because yeah, brutal.
Well, anyhow, yeah. So I think, I think you're right. It is time for us to. We should probably can pull the plug here before we embarrass ourselves. Because what else? What else do we have going forward? So, all right. So we do have WrestlePalooza, and there's No Mercy. I think later on this month, and then there is was it All Out, AEW. Yeah. And next month, I will be making the trip to Boston, Massachusetts to come up there. And
yes, sir.
We will be going to Bound for Glory, and they did announce tonight that it will be Mike Santana and Trick Williams for the TNA World title.
Yeah, that's a foregone conclusion, I think.
Yeah, they made it official, and it'll be, when was I last in Boston? Been a while. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to coming up there and, meeting your buddy Boogie, because I haven't done that yet.
Gosh. He loves people. That's a lie. But, oh, he's going to love Uncle Rob. It's going to be great. Right, buddy? Yeah, he's going to sleep in your guest room. There you go. Oh, boy. It's going to be fun, buddy. I am excited, though. It is my birthday weekend. So we're going to get a lot of carousing and nonsense done on that Saturday. And then we're going to have a lot of fun on Sunday. So, yeah. And Emily's trying to figure out if we can get to the Kowloon, because she feels like you should definitely go there before they tear it down.
The what? What is that? The
Kowloon.
I don't know what that is.
The Chinese restaurant that's super famous around here all the wrestlers. John Cena turned people onto it, I think. No, actually, they've been going there way longer. Anyway, it's the big hangout for the wrestlers after the show.
Oh, okay.
It's this giant Chinese restaurant on Route 1, which is just the stretch of road, with nothing but restaurants and industrial stuff, and, you know, retail. North of Boston, and it is, I shit you not, a three-story, maybe five-story pagoda. It is awesome. So, yeah, and the food is actually, it does live up to the billing. Like, I've gone there several times. The food is awesome. Some of the best General Gao's chicken I've ever had. and I've had it in all the hot spots in the U.S. I can't speak for any actual, you know, Asian countries, but all the supposedly good Chinese in the country. And yeah, there's stacks right up. So we got to go to the Kowloon.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that.
Cool. All right, let's get out of here. Rob, say the tagline.
Okay. Good. Well, I almost gave my tagline for my show. Sorry about that.
Go into the business for yourself.
Yeah, what can I say? But okay. Shit, I can't remember.
All right. God. You can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want. Just call it In the Ring. And we are out of here till next week. Thank God. Rob, pull the plug.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.